Hey Ahmed, it's so good to have you here. How are you today?
I am excited, really happy to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I can't believe that we've not had you on the podcast. I was saying this to Roger earlier as well. He's in the same batch of podcasts as with you as well. And I was saying to him that he's never been on the podcast either. I can't believe it. What have I been doing with myself? Have I really been doing a podcast? I'm not sure. But it's so good to have you here, Ahmed. Thanks very much for joining me.
And, no problem.
As with everybody else in the podcast, I think what we love to do in these interviews, because we interview our members, you see, interview the members and try to get to know their journey, especially members that have been with CMA for years, is good for people to know where they started and what was that moment where you were like, is content marketing going to be the thing? And then you're doing your different projects and all the different content you're doing and what successes you're having. And I'd love to talk to you about all of those things as well. And then I want to talk about you winning an award this year at the CMA Awards. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Yep. And then we'll see where it goes from there, right? There's always nice little surprises that come up too. So I guess the first question is, Ahmed, I don't know if we've really ever talked about this even privately, is where did your content marketing journey begin?
I think it's always been part of my career, because really by trade, I'm an SEO, and I've been doing that for over 10 years. And really, content is part of SEO, whether you like it or not, it's part of SEO. And it's one thing to do the technical side of things and the user experience and analytics, but then, you know, SEO is not going to be SEO without content. And even content has its own special style and skill and kind of unique perspective into the whole journey. And it's always been kind of part of my background, my career, but not really until really dive into it knee deep with yourself and everyone around CMA and learning more about the content marketing area that you realize it's part of a much bigger kind of sphere than you think. Because I always thought as a SEO being kind of central, and then there's so many little things around it, like, as I said, the analytics, the keyword, the, you know, technical stuff, the all these things, they play a part in SEO. And then I put content on top of that. But really, content and content marketing can be its own massive, massive thing on its own. And then you can break that down even further. So I guess it's always been part of me for over 10 years of my career in SEO and digital marketing.
Yeah, so if you weren't creating content, you were doing things that helped people's content to be seen, at least. I think you're right about the different layers of content marketing. You know, there's the creative, then there's the technical, and then there's the you can go so deep with it, can't you, into the specialisms. So when we're thinking about your journey, then what was when you started to really get into content marketing for growing your own enterprise? What was it? Where did that start for you then?
It definitely really kick-started properly when I decided to fly solo and just start my own business, my own kind of career in my own way. And because I've been always part of agency or in-house and being part of companies and an employee, and that was a crucial part of my journey. But it was not always a big thing for me to talk about content marketing when I was an employee. Not until I really, really pushed forward and I thought, okay, this is a lot bigger than I thought. This is something that I really want to do. And I thought, of course, I have a bit more control over my business. I thought, this is the direction I want to take. And I realized even more, again, from putting my SEO hat on, that I wanted to talk about content in a certain way. Personality is in there. Your expertise, your authority is in there. And I found out when I did it via my business, which is mainly focused around WordPress SEO, I found that I was able to talk about it using content, using the blog format, really, really easy compared to being an employee. Because of course, there are other people involved, makes it more difficult. But I knew that I had a responsibility to obviously have that pressure of making your business work, but also I feel like it's my responsibility to educate my audience, educate my clients, and even part of that is educate myself as well. So I guess now it's been just over 3 years now running my business, and it's amazing how it's an essential part of my business right now. And if I feel like I haven't done anything, I haven't, you know, I didn't wash myself, if I haven't done a content for a long time, it's just such an essential part of my marketing overall. And it's part of my sales as well. And yeah. I couldn't continue doing my business or even going too long without even thinking about content in the first place.
Yeah. I love that there's a sort of like an insight into your philosophy and about your responsibility to create content, to educate your buyers and to, but you mentioned something that I think oftentimes people miss. It's like not just educating your buyers, but your own education is developed through creating content too. And I think a lot of people don't see that as the bigger, as an element of the bigger picture of content marketing, is that in order for us to make progress, we take the responsibility of teachers to educate our buyers, but we're also learning at the same time too.
Definitely. Definitely. I think people forget that a lot, that you think about, when you think about content and video, you get thinking about who is consuming it, but you don't really think about what it can do for you as a person, to your skills, to your personality, to your business expertise, because it opened my mind up a lot more about the art of communication, the art of writing and creating videos and editing. It opened up my mind a lot more about the art of public speaking and how to kind of speak to the audience, not just speak to them in their brain and make them think, but also speak to them in their heart as well. And I know it sounds a bit cliche, but that's really important to me, you know, as part of writing content. And people underestimate the power of content for you as a person as well.
Yeah, the personal growth is huge. Like we see it in CMA all the time. I mean, there's an element, there's a big part of that in this conversation we're just about to have, I think, as well, as that personal growth. You start somewhere and then a year or two later, you're in a totally different place. Mm-hmm. You're still practicing the same thing. You've still got the same philosophy, the same approach. You're still operating with the same values, except you're doing something that you never thought you would be doing, but it started as a seed at some point in the past, which was from something else. And we've seen that so much in CMA. I think pop to mind would be Debbie's journey over the last couple of years as an in-house marketer and then going out on her own, and content's just been the catalyst for that whole approach. Similar to your project as well, Ahmed, we've talked about your decade of experience in SEO and in content and in marketing. But then when we presented you with an award at CMA a few months ago, it wasn't for this business. In fact, nominated multiple times. I'm not even going to, I mean, I've got them all in front of me. I can't read them all out, but people just absolutely loving the content that you're doing and nominating you for our Anne Handley's Bigger, Braver, Bolder Award because of the work you're doing with Hear Me Out. And I think it's incredible. I mean, this is what Anne said. We, just for those that aren't aware, we have these awards. We do them each year. Each year they're a little bit different. And this year we had 10 award categories, and 4 of them were sponsored. You say sponsored. There wasn't any money changing hands. It was more an acknowledgement, I guess. Mark Schaefer, Brian Fanzo, Anne Handley, and Marcus Sheridan. And the Bigger, Braver, Bolder Award was Anne Handley's award. And we sent away the nominations to Anne, and she had to pick who she felt deserved the award. And in this case, she picked Ahmed. And she said, he was nominated 3 times. Jesus, calm down, Scotland. Who is this guy? Turns out he's doing tremendous work from a content perspective. He's identified an underserved niche. We hear that every industry is oversaturated with too much content, but Ahmed throws up a side eye and goes, says who? Then he goes out and smashes it with a podcast that doesn't shy away from the hard truth. Bigger, Braver, Bolder doesn't mean crazy over the top. It means being real, honest, and empathetic to the audience you serve. I am tattooing Ahmed Khalifa on my left bicep to remind me of the same. And Anne is like a huge personality in the marketing space. She stands out above everybody else because of that Bigger, Braver, Bolder. It's exactly who she is. And the empathy and the honesty and the real the realness that Anne brings to the marketing industry, the work that she does is the bigger, braver, bolder work that she has to do for her space as well. Yeah. And I think could have been a better person to choose the right person for this award. So I think it was absolutely amazing. We're blown away by that. Mm-hmm. And I guess when we pull this into the wider conversation that we're having, Ahmed, is that oftentimes with content marketing, a lot of people have challenges, usually challenges with time and then not being able to be consistent or committed to something. And essentially what you've done is you've decided to bring another content project into your life, right? You've got your entrepreneurial project. I don't know what to call this. I'm going to say passion project, but no way do I mean that to undervalue it in any way at all. It's like it's a project that you've got a lot of passion for, and it's something else that you're doing that's getting the same, it seems to me, even more content through it than perhaps even your SEO business. So how did you make that decision? What was it that drove you to decide that I'm going to do this project, this Hear Me Out project, even though I'm entirely aware that you probably had plenty of things to keep you busy within your own business?
Definitely. So many things to do. And it wasn't a decision that I took lightly, because I am the kind of guy who doesn't want to spread myself too thin, but too late now. So I just thought I'd go for it. And really, you talked about that seed. You know, you said that, you know, there's a plant that seed and it grows over time, and it, you know, it takes you on a journey. For me, that seed was when I did two things in one day. And that was exactly 2 years ago. So we were recording August 2019. Exactly 2 years ago, I decided to, first of all, to publish my very first YouTube video ever. And it's public and it's out there. That was 2 years ago. The same time, because that video, that YouTube video, it's about me letting go. And what I'm really letting go is about me accepting who I am by letting go what I perceive myself to be. In this case, all my life, I've been labeled as someone who is technically deaf. And I just struggle with all these things. I struggle with being part of an environment. I struggle to communicate. I struggle to hear certain things. And it has been a challenge for me for a decade. And I've always allowed that to hold me back. So really, 2 years ago, I thought that video will be my first video, and it's going to be an important one because I'm going to let go of that perception of myself. And that was an encouragement done by Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income. He did a competition for his book launch. It's called Let Go, and he shared his own story about his version of Let Go. And he wanted to encourage people to do a 3-minute video, that's it, about what are you letting go of. And he's encouraging people to submit and he will pick. And I just thought, you know what, this is a good time for me to do it anyway without expecting anything from him, because he offered a big prize, which I will explain in a minute. But I just thought, you know what, I'm sick of being held back and I'm sick of not done a video yet. So I'm going to do 2-in-1 and do that video. And long story short, it turned out that he wanted me to come over to San Diego and spend the day with him. And he's someone that a lot of people will know. I look up to him very, very much. And it blew my mind that he actually picked me. Watching this video, and anybody can watch it on YouTube, it is awful. When you compare it 2 years ago or 5 years ago, when anyone starts, it's awful. Like the first video you do, it's always going to be really bad. But you have to start somewhere. And that was a big trigger. The video doing it first time, and then being invited out there to San Diego and spend a day with him, which is a privilege itself, because I know he doesn't do that for anyone. And that was like the seed. That first video was the first seed, and then that trip. And then it allowed me to grow as a person. We talked about that. It just made me more comfortable with who I am, and the content helped with that. The talking about it helped with that. It's almost therapeutic. And over the years, as I become more and more comfortable with videos, and I talked about it, you know, in an SEO sense about, you know, why video is important. And then on the video, I talk about what you can do with analytics and WordPress and all these things. But then gradually, I find myself naturally drifting back to talk about deaf awareness, my journey, educating people and sharing stories. And I use videos and podcasts and blogs to do that. And that's where Hearing Me Out CC came about, and it became so, so therapeutic for me that it helped me to just handle the challenges that I deal with every single day, every single second of my life, let alone every single day. And it's very, very therapeutic for me to an extent where it's so easy for me to create the content that I felt like I can talk from the heart, talk passionately, talk in a way that it doesn't require extensive research. You know, you talk about how to do X, Y, and Z in WordPress. That requires a lot of research to make sure you get it right. But sometimes when it's about yourself, you can talk from the heart and it doesn't require too much research, but it requires a lot of soul digging, and it can get emotional. So that was the seed, and it took me to today where I am, where I'm starting to get like private messages from people connecting with me, thanking me and saying that they have made them less lonely. For the first time, I have got an invite to speak, you know, at an event, and this is from me not applying. They approach me and they will, you know, invite me over, cover expenses and stuff like that. And this is all from me sharing, as you said, a different side of content that is not really my main business, but it has its own benefit that, as people say, money can't buy. But you know, I am thinking like, okay, what can I do there? How can I help more people? Because I think the therapy side of it helped me personally, but it seemed like it really resonated with a lot of people as well. So it really helped me to, I guess get naturally drawn to creating more content around that. And yeah, and I'm still doing it after a year of officially doing it properly.
That's awesome. I think it's funny when we go through this journey, right? You've got your SEO background, you've got your content marketing background, and now you're applying all of that foundational learning you've had to a new project, which in turn is allowing that project to be successful too. So does that make sense? So you've got like this skill set now that you can apply to different things, and you've got you've applied another layer to it now. You've got several layers of learning happening from your business side, and you put a new layer on top of that now, and then now that project's been successful. There's no telling really where that's going to take you now that you've started that process. I love the stories about how what you're doing is helping other people to feel less lonely, and you're starting a movement there. You're talking about topics that other people aren't prepared to talk about, that need to talk about them. People that have wanted to hear someone talking about things that they never do. For people that can't articulate their own feelings about things, you're doing that for them. For people that want someone else to talk to about how they feel about things, you're now that person for them. So I can see like how the big impact this is having on individuals across the world, because that's the world we live in, right? It's a very small place now.
Yeah.
But what I guess I'm interested in is how this has changed you with regards to your approach to how you do everything, right? So 2 years ago, you let go. You did your first video. You're now 2 years further down the road now. How have you changed?
Confidence is a big one. I think it's amazing what confidence in yourself can do to yourself and the people around you. Now, of course, I still have the moments, you know, we have those imposter syndrome moments. I still get that now and then, and that's, you know, whether that will ever go away or not is another story. But I definitely became more confident about who I am as a person and how you can help that person. And when you do that, you know, people say giving is a lovely thing, giving is something beautiful, and you know, you don't always have to expect something back. And it makes you realize even more that you do have something to share to the world. And I've always thought that I don't really have anything to share. It's a story that is boring or something that not all people will understand or resonate, or perhaps they don't care about it. But then it made me more confident about saying, you know what, I want to talk about it. I want to be able to share that story. And I want to be able to show people that everyone has a story that they can share regardless of what you think. Because a lot of people will say that, I'm just another person who is going through this. What do I have to say? I don't have anything to say, but I just think that everyone has their own unique story that they can share that nobody else or maybe very few people, or maybe even a small community can resonate with.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me more confident into talking to, you know, in front of an audience, doing public speaking. And I never really thought of doing that until a year or two down the line after I started my business. I didn't really think about that at all as an employee. And now I feel like I'm confident enough to talk about that and share that message without trying to waffle on too much. I just want to make sure that the message is hitting them as short and sweet as possible, but also makes them think. And it's amazing what that can do for you. And that's why I use the word therapeutic quite a lot, because right now it's not my main business. Maybe one day it will be in the future. I don't know. But in the meantime, the benefit that I get from doing that it's very therapeutic. It keeps me on my feet on the ground. It keeps me level-headed. It keeps me sane mentally. And it does make me feel more relaxed when I do this content. And I think I'm able to convey that better when I talk about deaf awareness than when you talk about SEO, because it's very difficult to talk about SEO in a very emotional sense. I just can't really do that. Maybe someone else can be better than me, but it's very difficult to do that. But of course, once about something deep in your heart, then that's a separate story.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where, I guess, when I was saying you've got all that foundational learning, you're now applying it to something with much more passion and emotion attached to it. And I think that, to me, feels like that recipe is going to build into like a more beautiful cake, if you will. You know, that I just feel like there's something very special happening there that's yet to be, like, it's still in the oven, you know, it's still cooking away. We're not quite sure where it's going to go or what it's going to look like, but we've got more of the right stuff in there. I love it how you're saying therapeutic. So, and again, this comes back to a point that you mentioned earlier about how you grow through the process of content, your blogs, the videos, doesn't matter what topic it is. The fact that you create content, you put content out there, it helps you to grow as a person. And to see it as content marketing as a therapy, right? Because that's what you're really saying. It's like it's a therapy for you, right? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, again, don't truly see this. They sometimes see content marketing as a burden or something that we have to do to grow our businesses. But if we can start to see what you see, Ahmed, and all the things that you've shared with us today, the therapy, the education, the growth, I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know it's going to be special type of attitude towards content marketing, then I think this gives people a much more intrinsic drive to want to make the world a better place, to do something different, to open themselves up. And essentially, or ultimately, what Pat Flynn did for you, Ahmed, is ultimately what you're giving to other people as a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. And I guess I didn't see it that way, but I can see what you're thinking of. And it's actually a very nice way of saying that, because I never thought I would be able to do that. I never thought I'd be the kind of person where, let's just say, the Pat Flynn's out there, or, you know, whoever big names out there, I never thought I'd be the Pat Flynn of this topic. But It turns out that you can. Because I think when you live in that bubble of marketing, you see everyone talking about the same topic and you see your peers. And I think it's hard to kind of step back and think, you know what? Not everyone is the same as you, talking about the same thing as you do and trying to shout about the same topic as you do. And it gives them that fear about saying, you know what? I'm just another noise on top of that noise. But you tend to think about, no, that's not the case, because you've got your own audience that will maybe more likely to prefer you than Pat Flynn. And then all the other ones out there, they maybe prefer to connect with you because they just feel like they can connect with you at a deeper level with you. And I think that taught me along the way that you don't have to have a big name and million followers and whatever to make an impact. And I've learned that in just 2 years, really. In just 2 years. Yeah. And I think it's a nice way of putting it. It's really, really cool.
So when it comes to, like, if you're thinking, someone's listening to this podcast just now who is where you were like 3, 4, 5 years ago, Ahmed, right? They've got a seedling of an idea, right? They've got something that they want to do, but they don't have perhaps the skills that you have, right? This SEO background that you've had for a decade, right? But they know they want to get a message out to the world. They know they need to start this journey with content marketing. What's your advice to that person? What do they need to do? What would you say to them?
I will use my own experience of how I learned about SEO and websites and using WordPress. That really came about when I was working in a job which is just looking after a shop's eBay store and Amazon store. They have their own version of that. And what I used to do back then, almost every night, I had a curiosity of wanting to know what is it like to have your own website. And almost every night, I'm not going to say all the time, all night long, but a lot of the time after work, I just wanted to experiment a lot with having a WordPress site, understand how it works, and learn as you go along. And, you know, don't be afraid to break things as you go along, because you can learn from that failure. And I've learned so much from all the failures all of the years. And there've been so much failures in terms of running the website or starting a new project or, you know, having a new podcast, because I've had two podcasts before that and they were good experience and I've done it, but it didn't get anywhere. But I'm still using that experience to help me with something else. People should be aware that every single little thing that you do in your life can act like a trigger without you knowing it. I didn't know 2 years ago that my very first YouTube video using a webcam in my laptop, which is not really high definition, anything like that, bare wall in the background in my spare bedroom, I didn't know this was going to lead me to where I am today. Yet it became a trigger that has resulted into something big. So I think people should be aware that every little thing that you do at home for half an hour each day, you learn as you go along, you fail as you go along, they are all part of experience that can eventually lead to something at the end of the day. And that's how I learned all these things. It's just by not being afraid to break things, not being afraid to get myself out there and just be out of your comfort zone. And you just never know what will happen a year or two down the line, which is really not that long. You just never know where that can lead you. And if I hadn't done that, then I'm just going to be going along as normal without really feeling like I've made an impact in people. So don't be afraid to experiment and to break things and use that as a learning experience along the way.
Perfect. I love that. It's a great way to bring the podcast to a close. And I've had this conversation many times, Achmed, with many people who said to me, and this is the funny thing about content is in that content journey, is that oftentimes we don't realize what we're doing because we set off a butterfly effect or a ripple in the lake with a little stone or something, a trigger, like you said. And we don't really know where that's going to take us until we look back a year from now. Like we're having this conversation now, Achmed, it'd be interesting to have the same conversation in 12 months' time, for example, or in 24 months' time or whatever, and look back and see what's happened. And people have said this to me oftentimes. It's like, if I never did this a year ago, then I wouldn't be where I am today. And I know it sounds obvious, mm-hmm. but in order to create that trigger, that ripple, that butterfly effect, you have to do something, right? You have to go take your idea and make it a reality, or you're never going to see what the next part of the journey is.
Yep. I think that's perfectly reasonable thing to think of, but it's a dangerous way to think if you don't think that you can do something with your passion, your business and whatever. Like I said, you don't have to, you know, there's a story about Kevin Kelly's 1,000 true fans. That is enough to, you know, have a small community of people resonating with what you do and love what you do. So just because there are hundreds of people who have a blog about fishing or knitting, it doesn't mean that people will not want to follow yours, because you have a special way of doing it, which is, first of all, your personality is unique. You know, maybe that's better than everyone else. And that is something that you can build upon, I think. So do that a year or two down the line. You just never know what's going to happen next.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Achmed, for coming on today, spending some time with us and getting a little bit of emotion into the podcast, which is never a bad thing. if people would like to find you, talk about your projects and get in touch with you, maybe even ask you questions about the things we've covered today, Ahmed, where's the best place for people to find you and seek you out?
Just to keep things simple, I think on social media, my handle is all the same. It is at I am Ahmed Khalifa, and that would be the best places. But of course, my website is iamahmedkhalifa.com, and there is also hearmeoutcc.com for the deaf awareness side of it as well.
Brilliant. And we'll pop links into the show notes for everybody so they can go ahead and check everything out. It's been a real pleasure, Ahmed. Thanks so much for joining me today, and thanks for sharing your journey. Really enjoyed that chat, and we've talked about something here today I think that is really special, but also stuff that we don't spend enough time talking about. So appreciate you, and thank you so much.
No problem at all. Thank you for chatting with me.